In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with, we're on now number 11, what the priest is called to do. And the priest is called to be linked with Louisa and must preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that is the kingdom of the divine will. So Jesus called the book of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom. And we know in Matthew 24, he says, until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world, the kingdom cannot come yet. And, so in the catechism, number 75, it says, Christ the Lord, in whom the entire revelation of the Most High God is summed up, commanded the apostles to preach the gospel, which had been promised beforehand by the prophets, and which he fulfilled in his own person and promulgated with his own lips. So in preaching of the gospel, they were to communicate the gifts of God to all men. This gospel was to be the source of all saving truth and moral discipline. So here, what God is showing us is that this gospel that's been proclaimed for the last 2,000 years has to be proclaimed to all the world. And that's the role of the priest. The priest is the one who was ordained, ontologically changed to proclaim the message. And a lot of times when we hear people talk about, you know, Christ and his church, outside of the homily, the priests, you know, who prepare these homilies for the laity, we don't hear the fullness. And that's one of the things that is very sad. The church is bubbling with divine truths, divine revelations, our dogma and doctrine. And the role of the priest is to proclaim this. It's to set people's hearts on fire. When Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, the two apostles, or disciples of Jesus, they heard him speak and their hearts were on fire. And they said this after they recognized him. They said, you know, he explained scriptures to us. And when you read the book of heaven, it's really, this is what happens to us too. Our hearts become on fire as we listen to Jesus explain to us the reason why now is the time for the kingdom, the fulfillment of our Father, the kingdom to be come on earth as it is in heaven. It's as it says here, in the preaching of the gospel, they were to communicate the gifts of God to all mankind. And this is what we see when we read the book of heaven. When we read the book of heaven, Jesus tells us it's the divine secrets, it's the divine treasures that Jesus says are given to you, Louisa. And then you, Louisa, will give this to the priests. And the priest will then proclaim, as Louisa said in the three appeals, she says to the priests that your teachings are not, it's like you're giving them hard bread, stale bread that's hard to digest. And she says to the priest, read the book of heaven. And what will happen is the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you in ways that you've never heard before. And everything, you know, all the theology, our dogma and doctrine, everything begins to make perfect sense in an easy way to explain to the people. So number 76 in the catechism, in keeping with the Lord's command, the gospel was to be handed on in two ways, orally by the apostles, who handed on by the spoken word of their preaching and by the example that they gave. So the example and preaching are the two ways. And what has happened over the course of the years, Jesus says that the priesthood has become the laughingstock of humanity. And Jesus says, so he is going to bring a purification, bring a recreation, if you want to say, of the priesthood. He says, I'm going to bring the priesthood to where I wanted it from the beginning. And this is what's happening with the Book of Heaven. Jesus is giving the priests this opportunity to work with him so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus said, he's talking about these times. He said that when Louisa says, I don't see any priests, Jesus said, there will be priests. He says, I started with 12, and if that's all I have, I'll begin again to bring this universal life to all of humanity by what you preach and by the example that you lead. Luke 4:43. To whom Jesus said, to the other cities, I must preach the kingdom of God, for therefore I am sent. We have to, our job as priests is to give this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, to anyone and to everyone. This is what God is asking. He says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, therefore he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the contrite of heart. So the healings that are going to take place are massive. He said there are going to be unheard of prodigies that's going to flow basically through the priesthood to humanity. The hospitals are full. The psychiatric units are full. The prisons are full. The rectories are empty. Jesus is going to bring about this healing of the church and the world by the use of the Holy Priesthood. And so this is what Jesus tells Louisa in Volume 23:1:18-19:28. Now, what I, God, have manifested on my divine will, and that you write, that we read, can be called the gospel of the kingdom of the divine will. So Jesus gave this title to the Book of Heaven. The divine will, Jesus says, can be called the gospel of the kingdom of the divine will. He says in another place, this is the testament of love. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is the this life, that this light, this love of God that's going to be manifested to all the earth. This universal life that he breathed, that the Holy Spirit breathed into Adam, is going to happen again with this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So again, when volume one through volume 10 is how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. And we have to really study how to become a saint. This is what Louisa asks all humanity. You must become a saint. So when you read volume one through volume 10, you learn the ABCs, if you want to say, of the divine will, of how, first of all, to become a saint, a divine mirror of Jesus. And then volume 11 through volume 19 is how to, okay, now this is what's coming, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is that second Pentecost, which will make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket compared to this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth. This new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II prophesied, using the prophecy, if you want to say, of St. Honorable de Francia, Louisa's confessor. So what is happening is now what I manifest in my divine will, and that you write, that what we read, every time you see the word write to Louisa, he says to us, now you have to read what is written. you know. So it can be called the gospel of the kingdom of the divine will. In nothing does it oppose either sacred scriptures or the gospel that I, Jesus, announced while being on earth. On the contrary, it can be called the support of the one and of the other. So as you look, and this is the thing, as you read the Book of Heaven, you fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with the Blessed Mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. You fall more in love with the Holy Church. As you're reading, there's nothing in it that is opposed to what Jesus has taught, what the church has taught. As a matter of fact, Archbishop Beceri wrote a letter saying that those that say that there's heresy in Luis's writings are really hurting the cause and are not speaking the truth. So you got to be very careful of that. I think the best way is what Pope Francis said about Our Lady of the Untying of the Knots. Archbishop Piceri said there are some knots that need to be untied in understanding the Book of Heaven. It's not heresy. It's not wrong, because he says in nothing does it oppose either sacred scripture or the gospel that I announced while being on earth. On the contrary, this Book of Heaven can be called the support of one and of the other. So this new and divine way of holiness has to be studied. And if there is a knot, with skill, Our Lady will help us untie that knot to make it understandable. Some things are at first, people don't understand that when you read the Book of Heaven, Luis is speaking a divine language with human terms. There's nothing romantic about Jesus and Luisa. When Jesus kisses Luisa, it's a father kissing his little daughter. When Luisa kisses Jesus, it's a little daughter kissing her father. It's nothing to do with romance. It's beautiful. It's how Jesus, one of Jesus's titles is in his litany, is Jesus, the Father of the age to come. This love of Jesus and Mary. There's another part. Some people said, you know, why do we have to have our mouth open and God filling it with his mouth? It's a sign of a bird, a mother bird, feeding the chicks, feeding the little birds who can't fly, who are stuck in a nest. And it's the same thing by being newborn. We can't walk spiritually. We can't do anything spiritually. We are newborn into this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. And so when you read the Book of Heaven, there will be things that you'll stop and you go, I don't really understand what this means. If you present it to Jesus, what happens is a little while later, what happens is Jesus, 3 pages later, 4 pages later, 10 pages later, Jesus explains what he said. And it's like a reward of going, okay, I don't quite understand what you're saying, Lord. Let me understand this. And you read, and then 3 or 4 pages later, there's the answer. And you go, wow, that was simple. How come I didn't even think of that? And why? Because Jesus is teaching us. And that's the beauty of this Book of Heaven. The Mary Magdalene saw Jesus in the garden after he rose from the dead, saw Jesus in the garden. And what happened? Jesus spoke to her and she recognized his voice. She recognized him by him speaking. This is what happens in the Book of Heaven. As we're reading and Jesus is teaching us, we recognize the truth. We recognize what God is saying. And it's the same thing with the two on their way to Emmaus. They recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Now, this shows us that we should spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of a monstrance, if at all possible, to spend your hour of prayer with the Lord, to recognize him, to fall in love with him. But this is the first bread, the bread of the divine will, that You know, here 2,000 years ago, the two on the road to Emmaus recognized Jesus in because of the Holy Eucharist, the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. But the first bread is the bread that was feeding Adam. It's the bread that Jesus and Mary ate, the first bread. This is what they taught Louisa. So as we begin to understand this language of heaven, it becomes more and more clear of how generous our God, how he's just overwhelmed with love for his children, that he wants to just fill us, especially with this first bread. So we will begin to recognize Jesus as we eat this first bread, as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. So Jesus says, in nothing does it oppose either sacred scripture or the gospel that I announced while being on earth. On the contrary, the book of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom, can be called the support of one and of the other. And this is why I, Jesus, allow and why I, Jesus, call priests to come to read the gospel, all of heaven, of the kingdom of my divine fiat. So here, the first one who has to know this is the proclaimer of the gospel. To speak of this, you have to, I mean, studying theology, we learned how to recognize in sacred scripture the teachings of the church. Now Jesus is saying, this is why now I, God, allow and why I, God, call priests to come. The priest to read the gospel all of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom of my divine will. So as to say, as I said to the apostles, preach it throughout the whole world. And this is the thing that is so beautiful. As the priests, the bishops, the deacons, as they begin to study the divine will, it comes out in their homilies. It's just there. This gospel of the kingdom is given to all of humanity throughout the whole world. And that's the other thing too. It's, the divine will is exploding worldwide. It's this, especially as you learn to pray the rounds, it's this explosion of the I love yous. See, each person, Jesus teaches Louisa, who prays in the divine will, prays in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, as the church now already teaches, when you're in the church and the monstrance is there and you're the only one, you represent all of humanity. So this praising God, this loving God, this glorifying God, as you are learning how to pray the rounds, it's in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It's an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. That which the evil one thought he stopped with Adam, that the evil one thought with Jesus and Mary on earth, and they're no longer, you know, physically walking on earth, that with Louisa, who lived this life and is no longer here, he knows his time has come to an end because he hears this harmony that he can't stand, this love of God, this praise of God, this glory of God that he participated in at one point and rejected. And all he has now is hell. He hears this and it's growing every day. More and more people are in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God. This prayer is so powerful that it's the face of the earth is changing. As you read, as you enter this gift, as you listen to Jesus teach you, guiding you, directing you, filling you with the Holy Spirit, what happens at that point is the world is changing. The world can't stand as it's standing. It's got to change. It's going to change. It's going to become, it's completely change. And so he says, in fact, in my works, I, God, make use of the priesthood. And that's what, now think about it. The prisons are full. The psychiatric units are full. The hospitals are full. In my works, Jesus says, I make use of the priesthood. They're going to be empty. They're going to be empty. People are going to be healed. People are going to be restored. What God has planned is the divine will is healing. The divine will is the prayer as, and this is another reason why we're not living in it yet, because if we're living in it, everybody would be healed. But what God is asking of us, he's asking us to really begin to understand that everything is changing. Everything is changing. Your families are changing. The nations are changing. The evil one, I mean, he's losing grip on what he has possessed for 6,000 years. Jesus freed us when he died on the cross, shedding every drop of blood. Mary with Jesus on Calvary. But now sanctification is coming. Jesus says, now the priesthood is going to change. Now a new beginning for all of humanity is coming. And so he says this, and just as I, Jesus, had the priesthood before my coming in order to prepare the people, the Jewish priesthood and the Levites, and the priesthood of my church for the last 2,000 years in order to confirm my coming and everything that I, Jesus, did and I, Jesus, said, so I will also have the priesthood of the kingdom of my divine will. So this is a promise that Jesus is giving to all of us, especially the priests. He's offering this priesthood of the kingdom of the divine will. He's offering the priests to begin to live as in support of Jesus the High Priest. Again, this is so amazing what our God is doing. It's so astonishing that the healings that are going to occur are unheard of. Jesus said it's going to be so powerful when this happens. See, because when the Holy Spirit comes down upon the second Pentecost, it's may your kingdom come on earth. This dust, breathe into this dust as it is in heaven. The heaven and earth will be one. Heaven and humanity, sorry, will be one. This is what God is bringing. It's a new beginning for the Holy Church. Don't be a fool that everything is falling apart. It's not falling apart. It's God's getting everything set, everything ready for what he has planned. And there will be some difficulties, but God is going to do this. Not us. We are redeemed, but we're not yet sanctified. And when the sanctification comes upon the church, we haven't seen anything yet. So 12, linked with Louisa, the priest must be present among the peoples, the sick, operating in the divine will. So the one thing that the priesthood is called to do is to anoint the sick. And when you read James, call for the elders, call for the priests of the church to heal. Okay. Matthew 18, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Freely have you received, freely give. That's the role of the priest. And it's nothing, again, it's nothing that we've seen before. It's going to be a new and divine way of healing. So what Jesus tells Louisa is what's coming upon the earth hasn't been seen before. And it's not the miracle of the saints. The miracle of the saints, all those that were healed 100 years ago are dead. Jesus is saying what's coming is the miracle of miracles. What's coming, and it's going to be through his priesthood. It's the miracle of miracles that are coming to humanity. And that's to be restored to what Adam had before the fall, or even more than that, to receive the the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, to begin to live, to have the, if you want to say, the DNA of Jesus, of Mary. Well, okay, you got to go back to Adam. What was Adam's DNA like? Adam was in God's image and likeness. Okay, so when we fell, our DNA says get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. That's not what God wants. God wants us to go back to where we were. So when he said 2,000 years ago to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons, to freely have you received, freely give this, what we're going to experience, what the world is going to experience is, again, think of it as a new and divine way of holiness, of what John Paul II, the second said, but also a new and divine way of healing. Why? As Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. What's the reign of the evil one? Sickness, death, leprosy, demons. That's going to be gone. And what Jesus said for the last 2,000 years, this is how I want the priesthood to be. And yet, with the fullness of faith, with the fullness of the truth of the teachings, the hospitals are full, the psychiatric units are full, the prisons are full. So what Jesus is going to do is he says, I'm going to renew my priesthood, renew this. It's going to be a new beginning for the church, but really it's not new. It's what God originally breathed into Adam, the Ruach of God, 6,000 years ago. So this is what's coming. And this is what Jesus says, volume 4, 12, 4, 1902. My power, this is my divine power, Jesus is talking about, extended everywhere. And from any place I, Jesus, could operate the most sensational miracles. Okay, now, when the divine will reigns, we're going to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. We're going to see operating in the priesthood the most sensational miracles as well. But he says this, yet in almost all the miracles, I, God, wanted to be personally present. So with us, he's saying with the priesthood, he says, everything has to change. Everything has to change. Your thoughts, your words, your deeds, everything has to change so that Jesus is there, so that Jesus is present. So these sensational miracles that Christ operated, he now wants to bring again, but he says, I want to be personally present. One with the priest, Alter Christus, another Christ. As for example, when I resurrected Lazarus, I went there. I had them remove the sepulchre stone, and then I had him released. And then, with the empire of my voice, I called him back to life. And see, this is the other thing too. When you're reading the Book of Heaven, you're hearing Jesus, not with your ears, but with your heart, your mind, your soul. Everything within you is changing. We become happy when we read the Book of Heaven because heaven is being unveiled before us. We're beginning to see this new beginning that the Lord had planned from the beginning of time, that we would be living at this time, predestined us to live at this time, to embrace this new and divine way of holiness that is ours. It wasn't for the saints. The saints learned how to do the will of God. But for us, he's saying, I want you to begin to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons even greater than what the apostles did. Now, this is why he says this. He says, but I want to be personally present. Everything that I did, I was personally present. Now, I want to be personally present with each priest. So that when you're praying the rounds, You say to the Lord, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, speak in my speaking, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. It's saying to the Lord, I don't want to continue to live separate from you. I want you to be personally present. It's not just your Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. More than that, it's Jesus, my King, my God, my all. My eyes are yours. My ears are yours. My mouth is yours. Everything is yours. I want nothing holding back anything. I don't want to hold anything back. And then he says this. In the resurrection of the young girl, I took her by the hand with my right hand, and I called her back to life. Talitha ku'um, little girl, get up. In the divine will, this is what's coming. You have to understand this. In the divine will, people will be raised from the dead. Louisa rose people from the dead. People will be raised from the dead. Why? Living in the divine will isn't something that's holy, isn't something that's good. It's divine. It's Jesus alive in the human as what he wanted from the beginning. And I know some people say, well, I'm living in the divine will. No, to live in the divine will is to be perfect. And but we all have to go to confession each week. To live in the divine will is a gift that Jesus says he's going to give to the world. He's going to do this. And when this happens, everybody's going to know. As a matter of fact, Jesus says the world is going to shake when this happens. A lot of people are reading sacred scripture and it's doom and gloom. Yes, it's going to be tough. It's going to be like a birth, he said. But if the pains are going to get more intense, the pains are going to be more frequent. But God says then the birth happens, then the glory happens. So what's coming upon the earth is a good thing. There's only one person that's really upset about it, and that's the evil one, because his kingdom's coming to an end. Jesus says it's going to be over. So this young girl comes back to life. He says, I take her with my right hand, and I call her back to life. And many other things which are recorded in the gospel, in which which are known to all, it's Jesus present. This is what the priesthood is going, the priests are going to experience this oneness with Christ. It's not anything less than Alter Christus. It's not anything less than that. And the sheep, Jesus calls the people the sheep because they have to be led. Led by whom? By Jesus. And so therefore the priest has to die more to himself, more to everything that the world, the flesh, and the devil is presenting to humanity. The priests say no. The priests say it has to be Jesus and Jesus alone. Again, this is going to happen. God's going to do it. Remember St. Louis de Montfort, he says, in the final days, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. That's what's coming. So he says, this teaches the way in which the priest must behave and is operating. It has to be Jesus. When he celebrates the Mass, it has to be Jesus. It can't be, not focused on Jesus. It has to be Jesus. This teaches the way in which the priest must behave in his operating. So God is expecting the priesthood to completely change. It's not going to be the homilies. I can't wait for the homilies based on the divine will. I can't wait. And in the Book of Heaven, Jesus explains certain things that he said in sacred scripture, and he explains to Louisa. Now, the reason I said this is because remember the young boy that died and he's on the litter, and it's the only son of a widowed mother. And he said, Jesus said, I saw what was going on. And he went and he touched the litter and brought the boy back to life. Jesus says, that's where we are now. We don't have this abundant life in us yet. We don't have the miracles. And he says, I am going to raise humanity back to life. The life that I breathed into Adam. This is the life that was given to Louisa. He's asking us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? And when we say yes, he goes, okay, prove it. You know, how are you living? Are you focused on Jesus teaching you every day? Are you sitting and listening? I remember I went to one rectory and every priest in the rectory had a television, and I didn't have a television. And the pastor says, I'll buy you a television. And I said, I don't want a television. Every night it was television time. That can't be for the priesthood. That can't be that. We don't want to be programmed to think the way the programmers are leading us, guiding us. We have to learn to be alone with Jesus so he can teach us. And this is what I see in the Book of Heaven. As Jesus says, this teaches the way in which the priest must behave and is operating, since the future life of the church was enclosed in mine. So the priests have to live this future life of the church, one with Jesus. God's going to do this. See, Louis de Montfort says, it's not what we do, but what God is going to do for humanity. So good things are coming. Good things are happening. And our God is asking us to really begin to live this abundant life. He's asking us to, especially with the sick, with the dying, to go out and really begin to pray for healing. One of the things Our Lady of America said to Sister Mary Ephraim was, there will be more healings in the United States than Lourdes and Fatima combined. There's going to be more healings than at Lourdes and at Fatima. And if you get to Rome City, and the water at Rome City is healing. Father Kanepke, the Kanep Springs, he became a chaplain for Pope Leo XIII. And Pope Leo XIII blessed his study of healing through water. And if anybody can find that for me, I'd be really happy. There is a blessing that Pope Leo XIII gave with water healings. That I believe the priests are going to be, that's going to be like a spur of getting things going of these, to be healed by the water. And as a matter of fact, there are so many things that are happening that as we begin to draw closer to Jesus and Mary, as this happens, we begin to experience more and more this divine, I love you. Teaching the way the priest must behave and operating, since the future life of the church is enclosed in Jesus. Jesus has to be enclosed in us. The priest has to proclaim the truth. And Jesus said this about the priest. If you're reading the Book of Heaven, Louisa says to the priest, if you're reading the Book of Heaven, you will get surprising truths will all of a sudden be there. Things that you've never thought about. Why? Because it's Jesus that's doing it. It's Jesus that's teaching. And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, it becomes easy for God. There's no blocks that are there. There's no blocks. And this flowing of the Spirit of God, it will astonish you. It will really just astonish you. So what we need is we need to be focused on the book of heaven. What you're going to read, no one else is going to understand what you're reading. Okay. So the priest is going to, God's going to give him the understanding of the divine will. So when he's preaching, see, everybody in the pew, every person is unique, and every person in the pew is going to experience God in their unique way. And when the priest proclaims, when the priest preaches, the Holy Spirit that touches the lay people in such a way that each one begins to understand in their unique way. Okay. So if you're a farmer, you're understanding in a farmer's way. If you're a lawyer, you're going to understand in a lawyer's way. The priest is the one that God uses to help the laity come alive. Okay. You will experience this. I mean, you're already experiencing it, but in a more powerful way, because it's the power of Jesus in the priesthood that's going to make it's like giving fertilizer to the plants. It helps everything grow. And that's the priest's responsibility. He gets out there and he witnesses to the power of Jesus. He witnesses to the love of Jesus. He witnesses to the wisdom of God. I mean, this is what God is giving, offering to the priests. And each priest will find this truth as they read, as they study, as they put this into practice. Jesus is going to teach us the way the priest must behave in his operating, the way the future life of the church is going to blossom. God's going to do this. He's got it all planned. And each person at this time, he saved the best for last. This is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming upon the earth. When that day happens, and I do believe it's very close, when that day happens, the evil one has to leave. Why? The kingdom will be here on earth as it is in heaven. New heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem. It's a new beginning for humanity, but it's not new at all. It's the oldest gift that God gave to Adam. It's to be filled to capacity. It's the priests that are going to bring this about. As he said before, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. He says what is coming is light years beyond that. It's the miracle of miracles that's coming upon the earth. And when this happens, it is the new heavens and the new earth. And hang on to your hat. It's very close. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray that all the little children, the holy divine will, be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.